This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
CBS FM, Shannon in the Morning with Patty and special guest Harry Connick Jr. Good morning, Harry.
Good morning, Scott. How are you, man?
I got to apologize. See, I didn't really do a good job introducing you the last time you were on, so I'm going to do it again right now. You ready?
What was the problem before?
It just wasn't that good. I pride myself on introductions. That's my specialty. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to talk to a gentleman who has so many successes in his life. When he was a young man, he played Leo, Grace's wife, on Will and Grace from 2002 to 2006. He played a serial killer and Copycat. He was a jet fighter pilot, and he even fooled around with Sandra Bullock in the movie Hope Floats. He was also a dolphin wrangler in the Dolphin Tale movies, and he's on our show today. It's Mr. Harry Connick Jr.
One correction. He played Grace's husband, not Grace's wife.
All right. Nitpicker.
Hey, I gotta say that's my new voicemail.
All of that.
If anybody talks to me, they're going to hear that whole bio.
If they don't want to sit through it, they hang up, right?
Well, that's how you find out who the people you really care about are, because they're just going to have to deal with it, and then, if they're still there, I'll talk to them.
That's right.
The last time we chatted with you, I had a question, and it's left over from then. So when you and Jill sitting there in that lockdown and all that kind of thing, are you doing any binge watching?
So our daughters are 22, 24, and 18. So they didn't see the show 24 first go around, which I was shocked to remember it debuted in 2001. We have a problem with the show. First of all, my daughter Kate, she would run off with Kiefer Sutherland right now. She's obsessed with this guy. We're into season 4 right now. We're watching 2-3 of these shows a night. We cannot. It's awful. It's a severe addiction.
I can't believe you haven't gotten into the new stuff yet.
I did watch Afterlife, though, with Ricky
Gervais. Oh, my favorite show. I love Afterlife.
All of his shows is fantastic.
Isn't he amazing?
He really is. He has a way of developing these characters that you just care for, and no matter how flawed they are, you just can't help but root for these. Yeah, it's amazing.
Well, the last time we talked to you, you were talking about the CBS special, United We Sing, and you did a Grammy tribute to the unsung heroes. I watched that because you told me to, and I thought you did a great job. Georgia was, what a filmmaker. She's fantastic.
She's awesome. For your listeners who may not know, Georgia, my 24-year-old, is a filmmaker, and she filmed me in an RV all the way from Connecticut down to New Orleans, and she's just fantastic. She's studied at NYU, and now she's, really jumping in deep with editing and doing audio and video and all kinds of stuff. So I'm just so proud of her.
I thought it was pretty cool, too, was when you got out there and you were talking to a couple of people who have done all this grunge work and helping other people out, and then all of a sudden you got your iPad in your hand and you got some big superstar talking to them with you holding on to the iPad.
Well, so that was the idea. When I pitched that to CBS, they said, well, what's going to make this show different? So I had an iPad on Zoom, and I got to meet these everyday essential heroes, and I said, listen, somebody wants to say thanks. And I flipped the iPad around. And
so great.
I don't know who was more impressed, because, when Tim McGraw met these two truckers via this Zoom call, it was just an emotional thing. They both, it was just a mutual admiration, and it was an incredible feeling to see that.
At the very end of the show, you had this song that you actually wrote called Stars Still Shine. That song is really touching.
Oh, thanks a lot. You know, it was something that I wanted to write as a love letter to these men and women who are kind of keeping our lives going. People can download the song now. It came on at the end of the special, which has since aired. You can see the special on CBS All Access. But the song, Stars Still Shine, is something I'm really proud of. And all of the proceeds, 100% of them, are going to the Ellis Marsalis Center for Music in New Orleans. And Ellis was a great friend and a great teacher of mine who just died from COVID about 2 months ago. So it all kind of came full circle. I want them to know that all of this money is going to a very, very cool place.
It's now available for download on all the digital platforms, and it's called Stars Still Shine, and it benefits the Ellis Marsalis Center. I'm just repeating what you said to make sure everybody heard it.
Yep, I appreciate it.
You know something, while you were talking, I just got a memory that popped up in my head. The first time I ever met you, it was because of my daughter, Kathleen, who's now an attorney in D.C., and she loved your music. Now, here's a teenager at the time. I don't know, maybe she was 11, 12, 13, somewhere in that zone, and she wanted to meet you.
Wow.
You were doing the NBC Christmas Spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
From Rockefeller Center.
The Christmas tree lighting, yeah.
And right. It was a long night, but you were so nice to my daughter. She was so excited. She still has a picture of you that she cherishes with her.
That's so sweet. And she's in D.C. now?
Yeah, she's an attorney. She's,
oh, that's fantastic. Tell her I said hi.
I sure will.
Every time I see you, we always have such a nice time. You guys have always been so nice to me, and it really means a lot.
I have a quick question about a story you told, I guess, recently about the first time you met Frank Sinatra.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I met him a few times, but the story that you're referring to was I couldn't have been 23, and I was singing at his 75th birthday party, and I had just met my wife, Jill. This was 30 years ago, I guess. And I sang a song for him and totally messed it up. Forgot the words, and that's not like me. I mean, I usually don't get nervous. I never get nervous, but that particular night I was
Sinatra.
Terrified. I mean, every singer in the world was sitting out there, and Frank Sinatra was staring at me, and the show ended. I was embarrassed. I kind of chased him down in the lobby afterwards, and Jill said, what are you doing? I said, I got to go try to redeem myself. And she says, you may want to leave him alone. He's probably tired, you know. And I said, no, I got to talk to him. So he was getting into the elevator with his wife and a security guard. And I grabbed Jill and ran into the elevator. And the elevator doors closed. And I'm standing across from, I mean, you have to remember who this is now. Mm-hmm. This isn't just some guy. This is Frank Sinatra. And I looked at him and I said, Mr. Sinatra, you know, I messed up the words. And I'm so much better than that. And blah, blah, blah. I can't remember what I said. As the elevator doors opened and he was about to get off the elevator, I was waiting for these incredible words of wisdom, like he was going to tell me something to pass the torch or whatever, you know, like an arrogant kid would think. And he totally ignored me and looked at Jill and said, you're beautiful, and kissed her and left.
And you're 23. You must
like,
have
what?
Wait a minute.
I mean, seriously,
what just happened?
Think about who that was. That was right. Frank frickin' Sinatra.
The chairman of the board.
The chairman of the board. And he said nothing. His wife looked at me at the end and said, like, oh, he really enjoyed your performance. She tried to make me feel better. I'm like, oh, whatever.
He didn't even know who you were.
No idea.
Oh, don't say that.
No, he had no clue. Jill got a kiss from him, so.
Good luck.
We'll talk to you soon, my friend. Don't wait another month, please, okay?
Well, thanks, guys.
See you. Bye. Eric Connick Jr., ladies and gentlemen, on CBS-FM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.